Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, it is Tuesday, September 25th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Folks, a lot of information will still be coming out regarding the FBI's Uniform Crime Report. We had the extensive show yesterday. If you missed it, you can download it at normalaudiostash.com. Discussing the revelation that yet again a record number of marijuana violation arrests have been performed here in the United States. This data out from 2006, just about 830,000 Americans arrested for marijuana violation in a single year. It really is just an astounding number, folks. Really, think about it for a moment. If we had 1 second of silence for every person arrested for a marijuana violation in the United States, we'd be silent for 9 days straight. If we had a single post-it note for every one of the 830,000 Americans arrested for a marijuana violation and put those post-it notes next to each other, they would stretch for over 55 miles. Folks, these arrests need to stop. We've got to change the senseless prohibition of marijuana in America. Normal and other groups are working at it. It's up to you to get involved. Actually make it happen. It will take all of us together, a combined effort of stakeholders, to enforce this kind of change here in America. It's happened with other movements, but it hasn't happened because one or two people have gotten involved. It's happened because millions have gotten involved. So make sure you get involved today. Take some action, make a donation, or join Normal. You can do it all at norml.org. We have important news today, a story about defense contractors awarded billions of dollars to assist in the drug war. A lot of that money spent right here at home to spot marijuana plants from the air. We'll speak with Alan St. Pierre about this story again today. Also today, some more of our audio from Boston, Massachusetts and the Boston Freedom Rally. We haven't gotten through all the audio. We got some great, great content up there. Today we'll hear an interview with Matt Simon, the director of SendTheRightMessage.com. We've interviewed Matt here on the program before about his interactions with presidential candidates. And if you go to SendTheRightMessage.com, you can find presidential candidates answering questions about marijuana. Quite an astounding website. Good interview with Matt here today from Boston. He was there with his group. Also in our Boston audio today, we're going to hear Dr. Keith Saunders, one of the co-directors of MassCAN Normal, in a very poignant talk about marijuana arrests here in the United States. I'm really glad to have that here today. And there was one presidential candidate at the Boston Freedom Rally, Libertarian presidential candidate George Phillies. We'll hear his talk today as well. And a bit of music from the group Angeline, who played at 420 at the Boston Freedom Rally. Freedom Rally. All that here today on your daily audio stash. Let's get right to our news. Our news today. Defense contractors awarded billions to assist drug war. Federal contracts totaling $15 billion have been awarded to five U.S. defense contractors, including Raytheon and Lockheed Martin, to pay for counter-narcotics efforts overseas, according to a recent report published online by GovernmentExecutive.com. Quote, contractors shall provide security and related services in support of counter-narco-terrorism, close quote, the article states. It continues, quote, due to the rapid adaptability of the counter-narco-terrorist threat, special federal government spending authorities are now available, close quote, on behalf of the Pentagon's Counter-Narco-Terrorism Technology Program Office. The contractors will provide equipment, material, and services to the Pentagon's counter-narcotics program, a separate Washington Post article states. The program develops and deploys, quote, technology that aids in disrupting, deterring, and denying the flow of illegal drugs, people, information, money, and weapons related to illegal drug trafficking and narco-terrorism, close quote. The size and scope of the contracts highlights the expanded role private contractors are now playing in federal anti-drug efforts, reports GovernmentExecutive.com. Contract awardees include Raytheon Technical Services Company, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, R-Inc, Inc., and Blackwater USA. Here's Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre.
The awarding of these contracts illustrates once again that the federal government's so-called war on drugs is not rhetorical. To politicians and federal bureaucrats, the drug war is just as real as America's current military efforts in Iraq or Afghanistan, though most Americans remain unaware that billions of their hard-earned dollars are being siphoned to pay for these so-called anti-drug operations conducted by corporate mercenaries.
For more information, please contact Alan St. Pierre, Normal's Executive Director, at area code 202-483-5500. We have links to the GovernmentExecutive.com story on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Joining us to discuss this story further today is Alan St. Pierre, Normal's Executive Director. Alan, we've heard a lot about Blackwater USA in regards to their Iraq operations, but that company is a specific awardee of this type of government anti-drug money. You know, how much of a dent is this making in the finances of the so-called war on drugs?
Oh, this is amazing to me to see what really seems to be the corporate mercenaries getting a good chunk of the war on drug money. For example, the Drug Czar's annual budget, they would argue, is around $14 billion per year. But through lovely Washington, D.C. math and accounting, the numbers are probably closer to $22 billion per year. Even though this contract is supposed to run a number of years, $15 billion to go to Raytheon Technical Services, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, AR Inc. Incorporated, and of course, as you mentioned, I think the nefarious Blackwater USA. The idea that $15 billion is going to be spent with these private companies to go out and engage in essentially law enforcement practices that our Constitution deeds to law enforcement officers properly sworn. This is a very scary precedent that the Bush administration is doing. While prior administrations, including the Clinton one, had gone out, as is the wont of federal contractors since the mid-1990s, and try to get private contractors to do what the government more or less should be doing. But here, this is quite scary because not only are these individuals running around the world under the guise of the United States, but what accountability, what standards are they being held to? The example you brought up in Iraq is a terrific example of a company that the country of Iraq itself is going to throw out. I mean, unfortunately, we all don't have the option of throwing Blackwater USA out of the USA, but unfortunately, I think for the next 3 or 4 years, we're going to see how they're going to spend hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars in places like Peru, places in the Middle East, all throughout Asia, and frankly, domestically as well. There's nothing restricting any of these companies from becoming the contractor at our children's school, so that when your kid comes to school that day, they have to walk by one of these government contractors and their drug dog, or be exposed to their drug-sniffing machines or their ion scanners. All of this can find its way just as easily domestically, and it's also quite sad and poignant that we even have to do this level of contracting. It's acknowledged in the reporting around this huge contract that the reason why this is mainly being done is because our military services have been so depleted because of the current five-year dual-front war in the Middle East. And so this is, in some ways, ramifications of that larger debacle of the Bush administration, and now leading to what I just am so fearful of the future of, and that is corporate mercenaries getting involved domestic and international drug warring.
Alan, much of this contracting money is spent on South American efforts in Colombia and Peru, as you mentioned, but some of this contractor money is used right here in the U.S. on marijuana, mainly in programs that try to spot marijuana from helicopters. But you know, all of this involvement of political operatives and politically connected groups, even the drug czar himself, John Walters, they've all tried to maximize their drug war spending on the coattails of the war on terrorism, it seems.
But one of the things that Walters figured out very quickly, and we can see from FOIA, Freedom of Information Act records, that within 25 to 30 days of 9/11, he had already joined narco-terrorism to the concept of fighting marijuana prohibition in the United States and keeping the status quo in place. So they think that the word narco-terrorism, I think in their minds rightly, is going to continue to buy them both time and billions of taxpayer dollars, even though, again, if passed as prologue, there will be more drugs in the United States, the potency likely will go up, there'll be really no diminishing of the marketplace in the United States for the consumption of drugs, even with this corporate mercenary force being unleashed.
And just a few weeks ago, the president of Colombia noted in a speech the purity and availability of cocaine on the street in New York City has gone up and the price has come down. So even the Colombian president questions whether the billions of American tax dollars we spend on the drug war in his country has any impact whatsoever. So now, it seems like there is a growing note and concern out there that all of this money and military activity put into the so-called drug war effort has had no fruition. And those foreign concerns really do kind of underscore the expense coupled with failure domestically of this prohibition policy as well.
Indeed, I'd remind listeners that it was the Office of Management and Budget, one of the more conservative fiscal bureaucracies in the federal government, gave the DEA, for the first time ever as a bureaucracy, an F, because the DEA's basic mission statement to reduce drug use here domestically and to stop drugs coming into the United States is nothing but an abject failure. Whether it is the heliostat balloons that are found all across Florida and the Big Bend area of Texas and all throughout the southwest United States, whether it's satellite technology. I mean, just today they discovered yet another tunnel leading from Mexico into Arizona. All of this, largely, Chris, can be controlled with very old technology called a tax stamp that is legitimately applied to a carrying device such as a baggie or a bottle like we do for booze in this country or on the bottom of a pack of cigarettes. And ultimately, Americans should figure out, because it's such common sense, that if we really want to control these inanimate substances, then we have to do so through taxation. That prohibition makes all matters worse, that all of us, those of us who want to reform the laws and those who want to maintain the status quo, we can all readily identify the problems associated with prohibition. The real challenge for reformers like Normal and dozens of other groups is to build an argument and to educate the public about alternatives to prohibition to stop these corporate mercenaries from taking our tax dollars and impugning America's good name all around the world. I mean, to think what could happen in dozens of countries regarding these virtually untethered corporate mercenaries from mucking around and drug warring and the gray area that that enjoys, one can just imagine what kind of tumult this new policy and committing this level of new dollars to these corporations are going to create.
Well, Alan, I really appreciate you taking time to join us here today on these subjects.
Thanks, Chris. Take care.
Thank you again, Alan. Alan St. Pierre is Normal's executive director. You can contact him at the Normal office in Washington, D.C. at area code 202-483-5500. Stay tuned. We have more Boston Freedom Rally audio coming up next.
What's up, guys? This is Miss High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
We're going to get back into some of our audio from the Boston Freedom Rally today. That took place on September 15th. The audio stash was there, as were 10,000 or so other people in attendance at this annual event supporting overall marijuana legalization. It really was a wonderful day. And with the revelation this week that there were about 830,000 marijuana arrests in 2006, I find this next piece of audio very, very poignant. Here's Dr. Keith Saunders. He's one of the directors of MassCan Normal. He's on stage discussing marijuana arrests. Keith really is one of the best articulators of the ideas of marijuana reform.
We change the law, the arrests stop. Overnight, just like that. We change the law, the arrests stop. Overnight, just like that. If we change the law, the arrests stop. Overnight, just like that. And the strategy of arresting people is rather an interesting one. If you have a chronic condition, if you have diabetes or you have some type of like Crohn's disease or some type of a condition you have for a long time, you need to take medication to fix yourself. When you suffer from this problem, do you go to the police station? Why wouldn't you go to the police station? Because they don't deal with diseases. Drug addiction is a disease. People who have drug addictions to opiates, to alcohol, to amphetamines, to all sorts of substances, suffer from chronic diseases. Why do we believe the police are the best avenue for treating people who have diseases? Notice I didn't say marijuana. Marijuana is not addictive in any classical sense. Hey, Mr. Sunshine. Hello, Sunshine. Here it is, 2:58 p.m. Boston Common. The second half of the rally is going to be played under the sun. We don't send people to the police station to treat their diseases. We shouldn't use the police to treat diseases at all. So you do, please do. Take some time. Stand up for yourself. Go join MassCan. Join Normal. Become involved in this movement because we are changing things. Keith was right. And I can guarantee you that even though he and Rick Cusick and a handful of other people here today get thrown into that annual tally of the 700,000 marijuana users who are arrested for simple possession, not distribution, not manufacture, not sale, just simple possession, 700,000 people a year. And those people who are arrested here today, I don't think any of them is going to be dissuaded from using marijuana tomorrow. I don't think it's going to stop anybody from using marijuana in the future. In fact, I did some math. 25 million annual marijuana users, 5 million daily users of marijuana, which means that annually there are 1.85 billion opportunities of people possessing marijuana, and there are 700,000 arrests. You know what that percentage is? Any geniuses out there? It is 0.04%. 0.04% of cases of marijuana possession in the United States result in arrest. That means that 99.96% don't end up in arrest. Why do we think that arresting people will ever stop this behavior? When 99.96% of the time, no arrest is involved whatsoever. Have ourselves a great time. You're all invited. Look on our website, www.masscan.org, for more information in the future.
That was Dr. Keith Saunders on stage at the Boston Freedom Rally September 15th. Keith is just one of the best speakers on the subject of reform out there. It was great to be able to present this audio today. Next up in our Boston audio is an interview with Matt Simon. Matt's been here on the program before discussing his personal and public interactions with Republican and Democratic presidential candidates campaigning in New Hampshire. You can read Matt's blog and view videos of the presidential candidates on both sides answering questions about marijuana on the website sendtherightmessage.com. We have links to it on normalaudiostash.com today as well. Here's our interview with Matt Simon. We're here with Matt Simon of New Hampshire's Common Sense and sendtherightmessage.org. Matt, it's great to see you out here today on the Boston Common, meeting a lot of people out here, telling them what's happening with the presidential candidates.
Absolutely. It's a very receptive audience. And you know, Chris, I don't like to leave New Hampshire too much. I don't like to leave the live free or die state, but I'll come down to Boston once a year for this freedom rally and talk to people about freedom and changing laws and how to do it.
A lot of young people out here. This is really a youth-centered event out here today.
Very much so. And they're, I don't know how old they are. You know, once you get past 25, everybody under that looks the same, you know. But they all understand that prohibition is an absolute failure. And they're happy to talk about it. They're not afraid to talk about it. And apparently, things are moving in the right direction. Public opinion is changing. We know that politicians are always behind public opinion. But we're going to win. We got to keep pushing.
Right on. Right on. And the only presidential candidate booth I've seen out here today is Ron Paul, of interest there, too.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. I've seen people walking around all day carrying Ron Paul signs, handing out Ron Paul flyers, walking up to people and talking to them about Ron Paul. And obviously one of his key positions has been criticism of the war on drugs throughout his 10 terms in Congress. And we're happy to see that is finally being listened to and that he's finally getting some attention for that.
Probably the most recent thing is Chris Dodd there on the candidate mashup saying that he would decriminalize but not legalize marijuana this week. And that was a wild card question from Bill Maher, of course. But it does seem like marijuana has come out more and more in this presidential election, certainly than in the past.
Yes, and they're still trying to, I think, scramble and figure out what the right line is. You know, these candidates are all prepped on health care. They're prepped on the war. They've got their positions all lined up. And you ask them about marijuana policy, and they just, and turn to look at their advisor. You know, they're all different, of course. Of course, that's not what Ron Paul does, right? But a lot of them aren't sure what their position is, and they have to think out loud when you ask them a tough question, and you see where their philosophy is, what they believe.
Be interesting to see as the season goes on, as they do refine those answers, as they get them more and more around the country, especially with California's primary coming up pretty quick.
Very much so, and there's so many aspects to this issue, obviously. I mean, drug prohibition is such a big and comprehensive policy that affects so many aspects of our lives beyond can we get high or not. I mean, the more you study it, the more that becomes not so much the issue, and all the collateral damage that it does to our society, all the harm that is caused by these failed policies.
Right on. Well, Matt, I'm looking forward to seeing you out here again today. You guys have a great booth set up here with the Don't Tread on Me Free State Project sign as well.
We're sharing space with the Free State Project today because they have such a wonderful covering.
Can't be without a tent today, at least in the early phases.
That's right. We survived the early hours, a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind. I'm still wearing a jacket I didn't intend to wear, but it's really turned out to be a nice day and a positive experience, I think, for everybody except for the people who are being arrested.
Including Keith Strupp and Rick Cusick were just arrested out here today. So even some of the leaders of the movement are not immune from that kind of thing, for sure.
None of us are immune. Prohibition doesn't discriminate. It does discriminate, but
yeah. Discriminates against those who wish to partake, I guess.
It discriminates against people who aren't afraid. It might be one way to look at it.
Right on. Matt, thank you today.
Thank you, Chris.
That was Matt Simon from sendtherightmessage.com. We have links to it at normalaudiostash.com today. There was one presidential candidate at the Boston Freedom Rally. It was George Phillies of the Libertarians. Here's his speech on stage, followed by attorney Steve Epstein.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here. It's great to be an American because it's a wonderful time to be alive in America. We're the land of the free and the brave. Free, You're all free to come here to stand up and demonstrate and ask Congress, ask the state legislature to change our laws. In a lot of the world, we couldn't do this, but thank God we are in America and we can be proud to be Americans. Brave. And part of brave, of course, is we have wonderful people defending America. We have our military off wherever. We have our police forces and our fire departments. But that's not all we are. If we want to be free, if we want to be brave, if we want to be successful, we need changes in America. And those don't happen spontaneously. They happen because you and you and you, the people of America, make them happen. And I suppose that brings me to the war on drugs. Well, the war on some drugs, since if you're fond of alcohol, that's perfectly legal. Above all, the war on drugs is a war on our civil liberties. The war on drugs has been used to strip Americans of their civil liberties. It's been used to attack our court system. It's been used to attack our civil rights. It's been used to excuse every sort of irregular and improper behavior. There's no more spectacular example of that than civil forfeiture. Civil forfeiture is the doctrine that if you're found carrying money, for example, if most of you were found walking through an airport and in your suitcase when they search it there's $10,000, they seize the money because it's obvious you must be involved in drug crimes. And of course, you can sue to get the money back, except for one little detail. Most lawyers expect to be paid. They have your money. Do you see a problem here? Civil forfeiture is an abomination. It's an abomination created by the Republicans and Democrats to make it harder for honest Americans to defend themselves when they're charged with crime. Of course, that's not the only problem we have. Some of you may have noticed, those of you who pay moderately careful attention to serious, legitimate news sources, we have the CIA and the NSA, and yeah, they were set up to spy on foreigners. And someone had the bright idea, oh, there might be terrorists in America. And they might be so stupid as to talk about their terror plans over the phone, so we will do phone tapping. And we will do warrantless phone tapping. Warrantless phone taps, warrantless wiretaps are unconstitutional, illegal, and immoral. And they're not just doing them of a few terrorists, they're doing them quite systematically of, look around, everyone you looked at is having their phone tapped by the FBI at the moment. That has to be brought to an end. And it has to be brought to an end, and you have to realize that the people who stood up and told George Bush, the Constitution is not a suicide pact. Those people are disloyal to America. They hate our Constitution. They hate our Bill of Rights. They hate everything our country stands for. And something has to be done about them. Well, I am here to tell you what can be done about them. And that comes to the second part of the speech. We are the land of the brave, and if you want change, you have to be part of the brave. It's time for you, all of you, to stand up and do something you don't like doing. For a lot of you, something you like doing even less than homework. Something you like doing even less than being polite to your parents when they tell you to come to bed. You have to get involved in politics. Yes, you. I'm George Phillies, Libertarian Party candidate for President of the United States. We're the party that says what you smoke in the privacy of your home, that's up to you, not some group of idiots in Washington. We're the party that says, if you aren't hurting other people, and you aren't threatening other people, and you aren't stealing from other people by manipulating their bank accounts, you probably aren't committing a crime, and you shouldn't be accused of it. The Democrats and Republicans disagree with us, and that's why we have 2 million Americans in prison. That's why we have 20 million or more Americans with some sort of police record. That's why if you go to any inner city in America, there are hundreds and thousands of people who have lost their civil rights, lost their chances to get good jobs, lost their chances to get an education. You have the Republican choice. The Republican Party is not going to end the war on drugs. They're too busy catering to one or more of their right wings. You could say, well, I could support the Democrats. Well, the Democrats aren't going to help. Every time the Democrats say we should do something about the war on Iraq, where they have three-quarters of the American people behind us, George Bush says, if you do that, I'll cry hard. And the Democrats cower in terror. No, if you want to end the war on drugs, you have one choice, the libertarian choice, the party of peace, prosperity, and liberty, the party that will give you freedom, the party that will get Uncle Sam out of your gun cabinet, out of your liquor cabinet, out of your smoking cabinet. I'm George Phillies, libertarian for president. Please give me your support. Thank you very much.
Thank you, George. George is from Massachusetts. He's our native son. I'm Steve Epstein. I helped found this event some 18 years ago. The weather is getting better. The music is fine. How y'all feeling out there? Hope you visited the Mascan tent, or you do before you leave. Get yourself one of these 55% hemp t-shirts.
That was Libertarian candidate George Phillies, along with Normal attorney Steve Epstein. We're going to round out the show today with a track from the featured 420 musical group at the Boston Freedom Rally. This is the group Angeline. Linda from Angeline interviewed with us here on the Audio Stash September 6th. This track is from their Powdered Pearl CD. Here's the track, California. was Angeline with California from their Powdered Pearls album on the High and Dry record label out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. We have links to Angeline on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.